This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome in. Episode 9 here, Season 2 of the Portland Winterhawks podcast, hanging out at the VMC, and let's jump right into it this week, because I got the captain of the Portland Winterhawks hanging out with me, Gabe Clausen. Gabe, before we get to anything else, first off, thanks for hopping back on the pod. It's been a minute.
Sure. Yeah.
What's it like right now walking around as like a flame emoji? Because what are we at, like 6 goals in our last 4 games?
Yeah, something like that. It's been a good little stretch here. So the team's been hot, which is the most important thing. Yeah. So it's been a good vibe around the rink lately.
I imagine so. Let's get to the road trip, because Nick and I were just chatting before we started recording. I found it interesting. A lot of teams from the U.S. division struggled on that trip. And I'm curious what your thoughts were on that, because you guys are playing at such a high level, and you've now come back. You've won 3 in a row since returning. Is there something you can put your finger, just the newness of it, the being in front of friends and family? Why do you think you guys struggled a little bit on the road trip?
Yeah, I think a bit of both of those. None of us have ever really done a road trip like that. Maybe a couple guys early in their careers, but it's been like 3-4 years since anyone's done anything like that. So when we first went there, it was obviously like a 20-something hour drive to Brandon, which was our first one, and took us a little bit to get our legs beneath us. But then we started to play well. And I thought we had a decent game in Winnipeg, just didn't play the full 60 minutes. But we'd like another crack at those guys. Obviously, they're a top team over there. We're a top team here. So
right.
Be a really good game again. And, I thought as the road trip went on, we played better. And, obviously we beat PA and Saskatoon, which was nice. And then the last couple didn't go our way. But I thought we still played pretty good hockey and didn't get the bounces, kind of. But yeah, it was a pretty demanding trip on the body, obviously, in 6 games in 9 days or whatever it was. So it was a grind. It was a lot of fun, but didn't get the results we were looking for.
You're probably, relieved to a certain extent to be home and kind of, back in your own bed, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. It was a long time staying in hotels and
serving
food and stuff. But
you mentioned like the grind on the body, playing that many games in that short amount of time, and then you highlighted how tough. You're sitting on the bus for that long. I know you guys broke it up, I think, in half. But how challenging is that when you first get there? Anybody who's ever been on a long flight can resonate with that. It takes you like a day to just kind of get your muscles back. Like, what's that process like? And do you guys change what you do at the start of the road trip to try and get your bodies going again?
Yeah, it's obviously a little tough getting off the bus. We get like a day after with like a practice day and just kind of hang out at the rink and get a little bit settled in. So that was nice. And then, but obviously we hadn't played a game in like a week or something.
Right.
So it kind of takes a little bit once you're like, once the first puck drops in that first game, it takes a little bit to get going. And we did find ourselves coming from behind that first game and trying to fight back in that one. But It's tough coming off the bus after a long couple days.
Did you get any good movies or TV shows binge? You get anything done while you're on the bus?
We mostly just play cards.
Yeah.
And hang out. We slept obviously quite a bit, and that's kind of the main thing.
I'll tell my mom you guys got a lot of homework done too.
Yeah, a lot of homework
exactly. done. You guys are grinding and getting that schoolwork done. Right, it's an important time of year for all that.
Of course.
Let's get to. I mean, you guys are coming back. Obviously, you mentioned great to be back in your home beds. You've won 3-3. Are you a fan of noon games? Do we need more afternoon Portland Winterhawk games for Gabe Clausen?
Yeah, noon is a little bit early, but I think like 2 o'clock is a good time. It's okay. Kind of sometimes like the 5 o'clocks are kind of right in between, like the 4 and 5 are right in between, like a good time. So I'd rather be like late, like the 7 or like a 2 o'clock would be perfect.
Just kind of show up to the rink. Let's
go
play,
exactly.
Baby.
It's just like minor hockey. You just wake up, have a nice eggs and waffles, and then head to the rink and play a game.
That's got to be tough, I imagine, sometimes when you play those late games. Like I've heard college football teams say this, where they'd rather play the early game because it's tough. You're just sitting around all day like waiting.
Exactly.
You know you got a game at 7. I got to be to the rink at 4 or 5, whatever time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's just show up and get it done.
Yeah.
What's kind of clicked for you since coming back? Is it just being home? Is there something you've changed or – just getting some mojo back or bounces going your way because you've now won 3 in a row since returning?
Yeah, I think all that stuff. Like, we've been getting the bounces, obviously, having a couple of good games, but we've been coming out way better, having better starts to our games and putting the other teams on their heels right away and then kind of just keep it going. Our confidence is really good right now, and we're just kind of trying to keep this rolling here.
You keep it going, yeah. How challenging is it, too, when you look ahead to a weekend like this where you got a 3-3 where you're home road home on a Sunday? Like, how difficult is that on the body?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think we're Seattle on Saturday, so it's, like, our best, like, closest road trip.
It helps a little bit.
Yeah, it helps a little bit, but it's still tough, and when you're getting home late and then you got to wake up for a game the next day, but it's going to be fun. Swift Current, new opponents, so it'll be fun to see what they're like. And, it's always nice to play some new teams. And then obviously, big game with Seattle. So it'll be a fun weekend.
A lot of people are going to have eyeballs on that one. It's a TV game, too,
sure.
So I'm sure you guys are excited about that. That's always cool. You mentioned the Swift Current coming to town and having new opponents. I imagine there's a challenge to it, and you guys just kind of went through that on the road trip, right, just seeing some new teams. But also an excitement there where, you know, I've joked with some of the other guys on the team, like, felt like the last 2-3 years it was 30 games against every team in the U.S. division, and that's all you're playing. Like, here's 8 straight against Spokane. Have fun. Like, at least you're playing some new teams. Like, talk about, like, the balance between that of new scouting reports and new challenges, new arenas and all that, but also just the excitement of, hey, man, we haven't played these teams. Yeah. I haven't played these guys in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So not having played them in 3 years or whatever, you kind of, like, when you look at the roster, you see some guys, you don't even know some of the guys. You're like, well, it's like a bunch of new guys in the league and stuff. So it's pretty cool to see, like, just what their teams look like now. And like, on the road trip to see all the new rinks. And I've played in most of those ones because it's close to home. But I think for some of the guys, it's cool to see other rinks and stuff. It's really exciting when you get to play new teams, like you said, when you're playing Seattle and Everett 12 times a season, and kind of gets old after a bit, so it's nice to mix it up every once in a while.
Just the hatred just builds, I'm sure, as the season goes on. Like, not these guys again, man.
Sure.
Let's get to the other big news here. I mean, locally, I know, I'm sure you guys have had your eyes on it waiting all year, and I know ownership has, coaching has, Chaz Lucius coming to town. Just the reaction, what you've seen from him, and how you think he's fitting into the locker room so far.
Yeah, he's been awesome so far. We had a bit of an idea when Seattle got Lambert, and we kind of knew that there was a chance he was coming, and when Mike told us, it was a lot of excitement for us. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
So when you get a guy like that to join your team, and since we were already a good team before that, and now to have a piece like that come in helps a lot, and he's fit right in really well. He's a really good guy, and obviously what he can do on the ice, he had a really good weekend to start his first few games.
Yeah.
So, it's been a lot of fun having him here and looking forward to see where we can go.
He's obviously a high level player, and you mentioned you guys are having a great year, so adding him to the mix is exciting. How long in your – and I'm sure every player is a little bit different, but when you get a new teammate like that, how long does it take to kind of – because I'm sure timing and knowing other guys' games, and you play with some of the guys, you know, on your line, and you've been around him so much that you kind of – there's got to be like a second nature of like, I know where he's going to be. I know where he likes the puck. I know where he likes to shoot from. Is there a learning process? Do you guys talk about that? You feel it on the practice rink? How does that go for you?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a process there. When you got a player like that, he's obviously probably had a bunch of different line mates. He's played for a few different teams over the last couple of years on a new team this year, and then another new team coming here.
Yeah.
So he's kind of probably had to adjust to a lot of that kind of stuff, so he's probably more used to it than we are. Haven't played with the same guys for the last couple of years, so I think it'll be easier for him and being the high-level player and thinker that he is on the ice, it'll be probably not too concerning for him, and he'll be able to fit right in and have a successful end of the season.
Well, I'm always curious, too. Like, I mean, you guys on that road trip, you meet up with Connor Bedard, who is a name that everybody in hockey is familiar with and, you know, probably going to be the number one pick in the draft and all that. When as a competitor, when you go into a game like that, is there a extra motivation? Is there a chip on your – like, I think you know all the accolades that this dude's got. Yeah. And so is there that chip on the shoulder? And then what did you think, and how did you guys feel about the way you played against him?
Yeah, for sure. There's – obviously some motivation to try and shut that guy down, because that's something that pretty much nobody's done this year. So
yeah. So
you really want to try and do that. I thought we had a pretty good game in Regina. We, it was kind of back and forth. We didn't play as good defensively, letting up some of those goals. But I thought we had a pretty good game, and then should have tied it up late in the game, but got kind of screwed over on a call there. That nobody agreed with, so that was pretty frustrating.
Yeah,
and looking back at it, we still don't really understand. So that was a tough one for sure. But I thought we had a pretty good game there, and just didn't get the outcome we deserved.
I see Nick over here; he's nodding his head. Yeah, it's like yeah, we remember. But no fines. We won't say any more than that. We'll leave it there. What did you make too? I mean, last one on the road trip, because it was so fun, kind of following on social media and seeing the Winterhawk booster fans showing up and just, like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere in Canada showing up to these barns. What was that like, having some home fans there when you're on the road?
Yeah, that was crazy, that when we heard, like, the amount of money they spent and time that they had to give up to come and watch us play in the middle of nowhere, like you said, in Canada, where it's freezing cold right then.
Right.
So it was really impressive that they made that trip, and it meant a lot to us to have them out there. So yeah, it was really enjoyable to see them with all their signs and cheering us on. At every single game, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you guys taking the ring for warm-ups and seeing the Winterhawk signs along the
exactly.
side.
It was awesome.
That was really cool. I mean, we first had you on, and it was such a cool moment for you getting named team captain, and you know, kind of what that was like for you, and kind of, you know, I think, you know, fans were curious to follow your progress this year and just how the year's going for you. Last time we talked to you, you obviously had that great start, and you got a little banged up. Now you've been back, you're hot again. Just how do you feel about the way your season's going and the way that you've kind of evolved and how you're handling the role as captain of this team?
Yeah, I think it's been a good season for me, like individually. Obviously, we've had a lot of team success this year, so that helps everybody out.
Yeah.
Like a lot of great players, so it's pretty easy to play with all the guys on our team. So I've been fortunate enough to have really good line mates all year, which no matter who I'm playing with, pretty much I'm in a good spot. So it's been a lot of fun, and like you said, last few games puck's been going my way. I've been it's just been finding me in the right spots, and I've been able to put them away. So it's been a lot of fun. I think as captain, it's an honor, obviously, to wear it, and it's a pretty cool feeling to get to put that sweater on every day. And I think we've done a really good job this year as a team, stringing wins together and having a lot of success. So we're just trying to, I guess, keep it going in the second half here and see what we can do in the playoff run.
Not many complaints from fans, man, the way you guys have been playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen your leadership style change at all as the year has gone on? I mean, because I remember last time we chatted, I'm going to show up, I'm going to work my ass off, I'm going to be that guy behind the scenes. Has that evolved at all, or are you still kind of going about it like follow me by example kind of guy?
I think that's always going to be my leadership style. We've got like a really good leadership group, and I think we each have kind of our own roles. Like Chizzer and Robbie are more vocal guys. So they do that, and then I think my leadership style's pretty much stayed similar to how I like it to be, and being a leader by example and speaking up when I need to, but just doing my own thing and letting everyone follow.
Well, I was always that kind of guy as an athlete. If you worked hard, I knew I could follow a guy like that. And there was always there's something to that. There was a great video that went out on social media yesterday from the team account. You guys had a special starting lineup announcement.
Yeah.
It looks like the boys were all fired up.
Yeah.
You came out at work. So what was that like, and how fun was that to see somebody new in the locker room announcing the starting lineup?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like, it was a kids' day or whatever, so we had a lot of fans, a lot of schools come out and watch. So when Mike told us that Brittany was coming in to announce the lineup, it was pretty cool, and she did a great job.
She pronounced
the names better than probably half the guys on our team could. So it was impressive. I'm sure she put a couple minutes of practice into that before she came in, because she did a really good job. And then we were able to give her the game puck after. So it was a pretty cool moment, and yeah, she did an awesome job.
That was cool. As a broadcaster, I can tell you, not all those names are easy to pronounce.
Exactly.
And some of those are challenging. You can trip up a little bit. You got to, like,
sure.
I need Hooked on Phonics to, like, sound this thing out for me, so I make sure I say it right. Well, hey, I'm glad we were able to get you out of class for a couple minutes. Thanks for checking back in on the pod, man. I'm sure listeners and Hawks fans are going to enjoy this. And best of luck, and not only the 3-3 this weekend, but until we catch up again next time, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, rolling on the Portland Winterhawks podcast live here at the VMC. Andy Dirk Johnson hanging out with you. Thanks again to Gabe Claussen for hopping on. And now I bring on my buddy, my pal, the voice of the Portland Winterhawks, Nick Merrick. Nick, how does it feel to be back in your own bed?
Feels really good, Andy, really good. honestly, it's nice to have a long road trip like that to see what the other divisions are like and test different cities. But when you're back home, it's great. Like, you get your own routine, your own work routine. You're in your home. You're with family. You're with your own bed. You know the team's practice schedule. You aren't wondering what city you're going to be in the next day. So it's good just to settle back in. I think that clearly that showed with the win-loss record from this week for the team. Obviously, Gabe kind of alluded to it, but now it's, you know, it's that grindy part of the season. Like, this is probably the toughest stretch, you know, for the listeners tuning in. Like, obviously, this is when it really ramps up for you as the fans, and this is when it continues to ramp up and stays kind of stressful for the staff and the players, because this is when you're like, okay, you know, the holiday break's behind us. That's a benchmark. The trade deadline's behind us. That's a benchmark. Now you're just pushing to claim playoff spot, and these are tough games coming up. There's a lot of consecutive games, and then it's on to the postseason. Then it feels like in the snap of a finger, the season's going to wrap up. So this is that weird part of the year where, like, you get a little comfortable, but it's really busy, and then all of a sudden, like, these next 3 months are just going to fly by.
They go so quick. And there's a build because, I mean, you know, if you're in Portland, like, they're going to the playoffs.
Right.
You're
going to
be a playoff team.
Yes.
And so, but now it's all about seeding. Can you win your division? Can you get the number one spot in the Western Conference? And there's going to be that jockeying that goes on. You know, it's interesting. You know, we were talking before we started recording about, and you brought up, you know, Portland wasn't the only U.S. division team that struggled on the Canadian swing.
Right.
And Gabe mentioned, you know, that's kind of a, you know, different problems, right? You're tired. It's the first time you've been there. It's a different distractions. It's six games and nine nights. What did you see from the team on the road trip, and what stood out to you? As I mean, it was up and down. They had a couple of games they felt like they should have won, but what stood out to you when you watched them?
Yeah, I feel like I could agree with a lot of what Gabe said. I was sitting right next to him when you two were talking, and I feel like the point of, you know, it's been a while, that's it kind of brings the perspective. Like, obviously Gabe never had that trip, and he's a 19-year-old, so even the leaders don't know how to kind of relay the message to the younger guys. The only ones that really could have would have been Robbie and a little bit of Dante of kind of going there, but even Dante hasn't had a chance to play in his home province, so That trip's, you know, kind of missed by a lot of players. And I think the biggest thing there is, obviously, like, you're used to playing in Prince George. So, like, you could handle a longer road trip of 16 hours. And, you know, what Gabe said, it was, what, 20 hours or so by the time it was all said and done in 2 days. You could make it work. But it's the whole fact that once you're there, it's not just two games, let's focus, let's grind it out, then we could rest on the way home and we're back home for a normal week. It's, you've got two games, now you're waking up and you're going another 4 hours, then you're playing two more games, then you're going this. Like, it was, I tried to do the math, and I think I figured out that it was 1,360 miles was traveled.
Whoa.
And that's, it excludes a couple 5 and 6 miles here and there to just, like, waking up from the rink and, you know, going from the hotel to the rink and back. But that was kind of the path that was made, and it's, you know, it's tough on the bodies, I'm sure, from an athlete. Like, it's tough on mine, and I'm just a slob trying to get through the work week and go into the rinks. And
you're, you know, not meant to sit down for that
No, you really aren't. You really aren't. And you want to keep it, you know, you got to keep the blood flowing. But it's fun to be able to be closer to the friends and family.
Sure.
I think that was obviously the highlight of the trip, just being able to play in the, you know, some of the Winterhawks home provinces and get to see some loved ones. And there was a lot of time spent after games, because typically they'll go and they'll say hi to their friends and family, and they'll go up in the concourse, or they'll go just down the locker room hallway, and they'll get a good, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 minutes to talk until one of the coaches decides to be like, all right, showers are open, like, bus in five. But there's a little bit of leeway there to at least just have some conversations, catch up. And you did just see them for the Christmas break, right? But it's special when you get to actually play a game there and then kind of have that routine of, now I get to see people and I get to talk about it. The Booster Club was there, which was unbelievable. I love being able to see them in all the rinks, and they were doing the same grind. So honestly, if fans are tuning in, they want to know, like, you can go ask our Booster friends.
They all did
it too. Like, there was a group of almost 40 of them that did that. And then obviously we're talking, and it's like, well, Nick, you had to go. They wanted to go. They wanted to see what it's like.
They chose to sit on that bus ride. Yeah.
But obviously they're going to feel it too. Like, that's a lot of travel. And I'm sure when they got home, they'd probably say the same things. Like, like they really enjoyed it. They took a lot of valuable experiences away. I'm sure they would have wanted more wins from the team. We all do. But it's nice to have like kind of the luxury of, okay, you got a couple weeks to reset at home. You do have a lot of games. Like usually it's 3 games a week pretty much from here on out. But then you'll have another 2-week trip. So I think that first experience out east is going to help you when you make that 2-week Western Division trip in February.
Right, because you got another one coming up. And we get to that in a moment and the upcoming schedule. What has stood out since they got back? And it feels like things have kind of re-clicked, re-centered. I mean, the Victoria game was nuts. And you get that win. And then a couple of just real dominating, not even close, just, hey, look at that, ho-hum. We blew out a couple of opponents. What stood out since they got back from the road
trip? I feel like the Victoria game, the way it started on that Friday, was the fact that the team was coming back kind of off a couple of losses on the road, and they were tough losses. So they, you know, it's one of those like they wanted to kind of put themselves back and like, all right, we got to get our own momentum. So it took a little while. Yeah. And Victoria is still a good team. Like they're scrappy. They have some good offensive skill set. I think it's kind of one of those where it was just a heavyweight duke it out and Portland's just got to prevail and find a way to get through it. And they did. And that's kind of when Gabe said he felt the confidence. Like that's the game. When you get one win, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, like we could breathe a minute. We aren't broken, you know, like
things are okay.
Because those things kind of sit down on athletes, I'm sure. Like if you lose a game that you feel like you should have won, you're going to feel like crap coming to the next game because now you're kind of a little bit in the mental space of, well, you know, we played it a game, but we still lost. Like it's you know, you got to find a way to get yourself out of that. And that's what this team's been really good this season of doing. They kind of found themselves out of that. Then they got into a groove and they were just in a really good rhythm. There wasn't much scare to any of their game. Kind of in any of those 3 games we just had over the extended weekend. And now you look forward to having 2 more home games on the 3-3. You're going to play in Seattle, so you get the test of rivalry. There's different opponents. I think the first time it's repeated an opponent this month will be Spokane on Sunday. So you get a lot of different opponents kind of in that mix too, which is good because now if you have confidence, you can kind of go in and you can game plan each opponent and change up your strategies and your systems, what you need to, you know, from a schematic situation. And then I'm sure the team would love to have 3 more wins this week to push them forward. And obviously they're still trying to chase Seattle down now for that top spot. There's only, you know, half a game separating the 2 teams right now, and Portland knows they're very much in the mix. You and I kind of talked too before we started going, you know, recording our podcast today, but that March end is where the season's really going to kind of determine the seeding for the playoffs. Like you're going to play Seattle 4 or 5 times, and you look at the makeup of these 2 teams. Obviously, they're in terrific, terrific spots to make a run.
Neither one's going anywhere.
No. So, like, those are going to be basically playoff games before the playoffs start, and they're going to be hard battles, I'm sure, which is a mixture. Like, sometimes you love it. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, boy, like, we know how this goes, and it's a playoff grind. Like, it's tough on bodies. Like, the Hawks are going to be going through that, let's say, March 17th, when typically other teams won't start until March 31st. So it's like, all right, that's when the playoffs are really going to have to snap into gear and figure it out. So it'll be interesting to see how the momentum carries through into this weekend, if there is any. And then, obviously, conversely, I think the, you know, the biggest elephant in the room maybe is the addition of Chaz Lucius and what he does to the team's top 6. And, you know, we saw him right away on that first power play unit, and things got shuffled a little bit, and the power play looked great. They scored, I think, 5 power play goals in those 3 games since returning home, and 2 of them came against a Lethbridge Hurricanes team that was like 94% on the penalty kill in their last, you know, basically 2 months of work. So they were one of the best penalty kill units, and Portland went 2 for 3 against them. So there's a lot of good small positives that they could take away too.
Sure. It is interesting. You mentioned Chaz and the addition. It feels like we've had a bit of an arms race in the U.S. division between the 2 top teams that are vying for this spot. I'm just curious, you know, we'll get to Chaz in a moment, but just what have you made of what Seattle's done? Yeah, it's fascinating to watch from afar because it feels like every time I open up my Twitter feed, I'm seeing a new trade and a new addition. And it's like, we're giving away all these draft picks and all these prospects and we're going all in. What have you made of the arms race that's existing right now between the 2 Northwest rivals?
Media member Nick Merrick says that Kamloops and Seattle literally are going all in right now. Yep. Chips are in.
And I think Kamloops is too. Yeah, you can't leave Kamloops out of the conversation.
No, you can't. You can't. Because obviously they're guaranteed that bid to the Memorial Cup. So even though they don't have to earn their way through the WHL playoffs, they still are going to be a good playoff team and they want to win it because obviously no team wants to just sit on the sidelines for a while. Yeah, obviously then you can run the whole like, well, the teams that recently have been bounced early have ended up winning the Memorial Cup or done well because now they're rested. you're right. Like, I'm not going to disagree with you there, but what team wants to be like, haha, you're a Memorial Cup host and you're out in first or second
right.
round?
Losing five games
yeah,
in round one.
You want to win You want to win your league championship. So yeah. obviously they want to push for it. They have two terrific additions there with Hofer and Zellweger in particular. They made a couple of more minor moves that I think are going to benefit that obviously go under the radar. Like, you get Matthew Keeper from Regina, you know, a good younger defenseman or a good younger goaltender to kind of back up Dylan Ernst. So, like, there's been some pieces moving, but it's crazy. This WHL market was absolutely bananas.
I've seen some returns on trades I've never, like, just like seeing the tweet.
Yes.
Of, like, the amount of draft picks in some of these moves. I'm like, are you, I didn't even know you had that many
it was
draft
like
picks
the,
to trade.
It was like the Ontario Hockey League trade deadline, like, on steroids. Like, it was nuts. That was the first year, I think, in a while. Probably in the last, what, probably 5-6 years. I know there was one out east when, like, Lethbridge was going for it and Regina was loading up. And, like, there was times when other teams were really loading up. But
yeah.
there's been about a 5-year window where, like, there's been some good moves. But it hasn't been like eight teams think they could win at all, so they're going to push away all these first-round picks and you know these quality 18-year-olds getting on the move. So from that standpoint, it's kind of relieving that Portland just stayed pat because this is a team that's really, really, really good at developing their own talent. I pulled it out in the last podcast, and I'll say it again because it's still true. Every player on the roster has only played games for the Portland Winterhawks. And they are the first team in the WHL to win 20 home games. They have over 30 wins on the season. This isn't like a, oh, we're going to develop our players to the next level and like whatever happens, happens. They're building their own characters, and then they're still yeah. within that chance, to, well, not even chance, but like they are pushing to win not only a Western Conference championship, but they're probably one of the four or five contenders to actually win the entire league. And they didn't have to blow up their entire farm system and you know and throw away all the picks to bring in, because they have good players. They didn't need to do that. Everyone plays a terrific role, and it's like Gabe just talked about it. I don't know what, but this group is so good at coming together. And I keep saying every podcast, like, I'm sorry if you listen every single week, but it's just like the culture is there.
Yep.
Like, it's an unbelievable group of kids. Like, they're young men and they are so well knit. And I should address the point then too, like when you go through a trade deadline, when that Lucius news dropped, it came on Sunday night was when I was first made aware, right after the game in Winnipeg. Then the Chaz news came out publicly on Monday, as did the Brad Lambert news to Seattle, which mm-hmm. they had to move a first and a second round pick to Saskatoon to get his rights. So they traded away two picks to get him while the Winterhawks drafted Lucius, previously held him on their college list. So he's protected since the Hawks drafted him. And now he's like a free first round pick acquisition.
Just a bonus player, a first round pick
anything.
That shows up in your
literally
locker.
It was because the yep. scouts recruited him when, you know, when he was a 15-year-old and then recognized the talent. And now here you go, you get a nice bonus.
Yep.
It doesn't always pan out that way, but recently it has, like with the Bellows and, you know, Matt Dumba came back from yep. World Juniors. They did have to acquire his rights, but similar situation, like some of those pieces benefit teams. And Lucius was one that clearly is going to, and he's a great kid too. I know we'll talk about him in a little bit. But you look at what happened there on that situation. Then Monday, the news comes out, trade deadline's Tuesday, when all of a sudden the Winterhawks are in a tough spot because, we have 24 guys in our roster, and we have to get down to the 23-man basically by the deadline day. Otherwise, you're just going to be like reassigning a player that's not going to work out well. So then I think that's when the tough decision came in. We have a lot of 19-year-olds, and I'm sure what the conversation was for the higher-ups, and they had to figure out what's our roster makeup. We just added Lucius, who's another 19-year-old player. We can only have so many 20-year-old players next season. So then, you know, that's when the move like a Dawson Pastrnak had to happen, because you have to open a space. You put him in a situation where he could play immediately, and also he's close to his hometown now. He's playing in his province of Manitoba. He's right there in Brandon with the Wheat Kings. And it gives that player an opportunity to play. But those are tough. Like, that's the one side that's so painful on the working side of the sports industry, is seeing a player get traded. Selfishly, I love it when Mike just throws picks away and, yeah, here's the first round. Great.
Right.
Obviously, like, you know, they aren't a human asset
sure.
yet. Like, these are still young men who are going through school.
It's not a real commodity. It's just
yes,
a pick.
It's a potential for one. So it's nice to, have that luxury lately where, like, the Joel Hofer move, a lot of picks were moved. Yeah. Obviously, with the Gauthier one, a little bit painful, but you move Bromberg, who was a 20-year-old, so at least it was like, okay, obviously, you know, he had his entire time in Portland and almost to the max. He just missed those 30 games, which he got to finish in Prince George, which is fantastic for him. But then it stinks. It doesn't feel good when you have such a good locker room to move a player like Pastrnak. And I had a chance to talk to the players a little bit and just kind of get a check in of like, how are you doing? Like, you know, it's weird because obviously from a media side, you're just pushing the news. And like, this is affecting the locker room and affects play. Yeah. There's friendships there. And Dawson's a great guy and unbelievable hockey player. And, you know, it was tough. Like, the guys were thinking like, yeah, this was, you know, this was probably one of the biggest trades I've had to be a part of in my hockey career because you don't, you know, you try not to think about it too much. But the elephant in the room, like, you knew it, something might happen. And we're a championship-driven team, so you don't know what's, you know, what piece they're going to get sent. Or if, you know, something like this is going to happen, and obviously it's one, like, well, it happened in, like, the snap of a finger. Lucius in, you got to move a spot, so you trade a player there. And that's tough to see. I really just wanted to bring up that story because it's the unfortunate side of the industry, and I know some fans are disheartened by it, but it all comes from the perspective of the Winterhawks staff recognizes that there's an issue, and they want to be able to move these players into a position they could succeed in. They don't want to just throw them away and say, oops, sorry, like, good luck.
Thanks
like,
for nothing. Yeah, yes, see you later.
They want to at least, like, when they realize they have a traffic jam like that, they want to put them in a good spot to succeed. We saw that earlier with, like, the Curtis Smythe of, you know, there's a log jam on defense, and they have a lot of young defensemen, and they wanted to see that out. And it was a situation where he's actually going to play in Medicine Hat. They can guarantee him a spot. So, you know, the Hawks are really good about finding homes in that regard for the for their players. But, you know, it's I don't know. It's fun. Long-winded way of just seeing, like, I'm glad that's behind us. Hawks have a good boost. The team's not going to change anymore. And they've been a terrific group. So why change what isn't broken? Right. Obviously, Mike did the same thing when that COVID season happened. And the season got shut early when the team won the Scotty Monroe for the best win record in the WHL. Why make a big move? You don't need to. It's succeeding. So why am I going to break up what's working, right? Like, I think that was kind of Mike's logic here. Like, I don't need to, you know, completely dismantle this roster. The team's playing great, and they're all responding to what, you know, we're asking for as a coaching staff. So, you know, of course, if you had somebody who didn't want to put the work in and wasn't going to earn his keep, if you will,
I'm sure
there would have been changes made because they'd be like, well, this guy's not really benefiting our locker room, not a good teammate, not a good coachable player. We'll find a better home for him.
Makes it a lot easier.
You don't have to do that because you got a good group. So it's really fun. I'm excited to see what these final, 26 games do in the schedule. But, you know, it's going to be a quite a grind for these players. They're going to find out. You're going into another semester for the college classes, as Gabe was talking, and the high schoolers are still taking their classwork, which is very much important. But you also want to win a championship. So how do you balance all this?
It's a great point on Dawson, too, because I think it's the angle that fans, you understand and you watch him play, but you don't quite get the emotions behind it and what it means for a locker room. And I'm glad that you brought that up. And the other thing, too, I think for Mike and Portland is that, you know, twofold. One, when you see what the asking price is for some of these high price assets on the market, like, am I really willing to mortgage whatever it's going to cost to go get X player or Y player? And to me, the answer is no, because of what you pointed out, how talented you are.
Yes.
You're already winning at a high level.
Yes.
Seattle has mortgaged everything in their existence to go all in on this year. I'm being a little overdramatic, but they've traded a lot for this year. And what's the difference between Seattle and Portland right now? I mean, they're right there. It's a point.
They're
a point difference.
Right
so, I get the angle there, and not to mention the fact that I think Portland prides itself on, you know, a lot of times in sports, you get teams that have these swoons where you win at a high level, and you're okay, kind of bottom out, and then we win at a high level, and then you bottom back. Portland has been, you know, the most consistent winner in the entire WHL and U.S. division consistently year in and year out, and you haven't had those down years in a long time.
Well, those were the...
And Portland is loaded for next year, and it's like, why would I mortgage 100%. Next year's chance to win on an off chance that maybe we get one or two players that it doesn't even guarantee you anything for this year?
100%. And actually what Mike Johnson highlighted to us as well, just kind of like from the staff perspective of making sure everyone kind of understands what it's like going into that deadline time, teams that go all in and like sell their entire future, they struggle afterwards. Like if you commit to go all in for the WHL championship and you want to win a Memorial Cup, you are going to take a hit. And sometimes it's going to happen if you're hosting it. Like I'm sure Kamloops is going to see the repercussions of that. They're going to lose some huge players, but now how do they, you know, it's going to take like a 3 or 4 year rebuild. And the examples there, you look at Regina from, I think it's now 5 years ago, when they had the Memorial Cup and they hosted it, they had that Sam Steele and, you know, they acquired some people around him and, you know, to kind of get that first round NHLer some bullets, if you will, and then all of a sudden not a playoff team. They get the first round overall pick, cool, they get a Connor Bedard, unbelievable, right? Generational talent. They're kind of still fighting for playoff positioning,
like, right, for having they're the gonna make best it player in. Since Sidney Crosby.
Yes,
come out
like
of
they have a generational talent and they're still kind of struggling. Now obviously I say struggling with asterisks, he's kind of the weird situation because you're gonna have a great fan base around him. You always get the attention with Connor Bedard. You're gonna sell out tickets. So they're doing well from that regard. But it's interesting there. Then you look at a Swift Current Broncos team. Well, when they won that over Everett, they've struggled ever since. Yeah. And I thought their young pieces now would be a little bit more towards the top of the conference, but they're kind of middle of the pack, so they're still in that midst of, I wouldn't even call it like a rebuild, but we saw them move some pieces. Like, they're trying to figure things out, so they're kind of not where they probably wish they were. And then, obviously, the biggest one, the easiest one to look at Edmonton. They won the championship last year. Obviously, they recouped a ton of picks, and kudos to Kurt Hill there. And, they moved to Demick. They moved the rights to Gunther, who hasn't come back to the WHL yet. I don't really know if he even will, because he's probably one of the Coyotes' best players. They moved Luke Prokop.
Yep.
Caden Gooley moved on. But all the pieces they pretty much could have got for picks, they did. Or pieces, they moved them. So, obviously, they recouped what they could. But now what do they have? 8 wins, 9 wins after they just won like 40-something? Like,
and now you're starting that rebuild. It's going to take you 2-3 years to get there.
2 or 3 years, because you got to wait for those players that you draft as 15-year-olds to basically get to like their 18-year-old season until they're really difference makers. Obviously, they could be really good prospects then, but it's a commitment that obviously some of those teams in the WHL this year decided. Yeah. They said, let's go for it. A Winnipeg out east, a Seattle out west, maybe a little bit of Kamloops too. I feel like those are the three big ones that really went for pushes. And then, it'll be interesting to see then how the makeup kind of looks next year.
I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it, you say, good for you. You better win it all.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're going to be looking in the offseason saying, oh, God, we did all that to lose in the Western Conference Finals or to lose in the second round or lose in the WHL Final again.
Right.
A lot of pressure on you. You better go win the whole thing. And I think for Portland, for the fans, there's a point of pride. I mean, to the stat that you brought up on the last pod and again on this pod, that every player has only played for Portland in the WHL.
Yes.
And there's a really cool thing about that, of the development, the culture that exists, and all that. Let's get to the newest member on the move that Portland technically made, but wasn't really a move, but they added a big-time piece, Chaz Lucius, just gangbuster since coming out. How is he fitting in? What are you seeing from him on the ice? I think fans obviously familiar with the way he played at World Juniors. He was lights out for Team USA, but what are you seeing so far in Portland?
Really, really elusive offensive talent. He's a terrific, terrific player. Honestly, he's going to be almost more of a playmaker for this team than he takes a ton of high volume of shots and really good shots. So it's interesting. He's kind of like this. He could be an everything type of player for the Hawks offensively, and almost like that, like a Seth Jarvis-esque piece that the team's missing, because you'll notice him whenever he's on the ice. And I think that's going to play some good matchups against the opposition. He's going to have to draw a lot of attention, so he's going to have to rise to the occasion a lot. Mm-hmm. But he's a player that could do it. Really good young man, too. Like, that's not an easy situation to have to go from playing professional hockey to now, essentially for him, he phrased it like he was traded at the deadline, right? Like, it's like a deadline trade, except rather than going to pros, he goes down to juniors. So he's trying to weigh out, like, well, I was living on my own in Manitoba. I kind of was trying to figure out, like, I'm cooking by myself, do my own laundry.
Yeah, that next phase of life,
yes,
if you will.
Going through that pro model. And he kind of gave me, like, a little nugget. Like, there's certain ways that the team ran itself with the Manitoba Moose, which is the AHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets, who drafted him, compared to what Mike does. And he likes some pieces of it a lot. Like, he says, under Mike's system, there's a little bit more freedom, so he can kind of be more of a, show his creativity a little bit more with his line mates. And he got a really good bond early with some of the veterans in the group, which naturally is easy. Age group's going to attract to age group. You're a 19-year-old, you're going to find the 19 and 20-year-olds. You're going to find the leaders in the locker room and kind of figure things out. But then because of that, and because I talked about earlier, which I don't have to go to again, but since that culture is so good, Chaz kind of indirectly alluded to that being, and he even said one time, he goes, it was impressive how much the old guys respect the young guys. Because then you come in, there's no beep. Like, typically players are like, okay, who hates who?
Yeah.
What's going on? How's
rookies
the dynamic?
Pick up the gear after practice.
Yes. And obviously that does happen, of course. Like, they're going to pick up the pucks after practice and take the water bottles and whatnot. Like, that's just part of hockey and sports. Yep. And,
hierarchy.
Any hierarchy pyramid type of thing. But it's just able to kind of slide in. There's a lot thrown his way right off the bat. He's going to learn the new systems, figure out his line mates, get comfortable with the position. He's a hockey player. He's going to step in and play right away, and he's acclimating himself really well. I think the points are 7 in his first 3 home games. Like, wow.
Not bad.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things like, this is what the player is going to bring, because you look at what his numbers are here and there, and you're like, if he put up that point there, he's going to put up points there. And it's like not skipping a beat. There's been like no let me warm up period. Like, it's pretty impressive, and I think he's going to have a terrific second half of the season. He's going to be a really good piece for the Hawks that obviously is going to help them in their championship pursuit, and we'll see. Obviously, I'm excited to kind of see him grow in Portland too, and yeah, there's a lot of eyes on him, and rightfully so, but it's a good person person, two, to bring into this mix who's going to kind of gel, I think, with this locker room once you give him the full month.
Rocking a number two that's had some good history in Portland, that's got some good connotation.
Yes.
So there's, you know, there's synergy there. It's all kind of coming together.
100%. Yeah, the 51 you're talking about?
51,
yeah,
man.
Derek Pouliot last wore it.
Exactly.
The only other one to wear it. And he talked, too. That was the number he wore with the National Team Development Program, so it kind of stuck.
Kind of fit with him, yeah.
Yeah, and he did request for it here because he couldn't wear number 11. He gave us that nugget. He number 11 is his number, but obviously Robbie's already got that, and you can't take it away from Robbie.
He can't take it
away. And obviously he knows that, so he's going to take 51, which is pretty cool. but it's everyone who comes in, too, they always look at the Winterhawk side, and they'll, you know, the visiting broadcasters will talk to me, and they'll be like, gosh, sometimes people love it. I personally come to the point now where I really enjoy it because it gets you're able to see it a little easier on the ice, but everyone's like, the numbers in Portland are so weird. You have 50s and 40s and 70s and 90s. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I got to keep track of all this, man. It is so funny. We were texting yesterday, and I said, you know, we got to get Chaz on the pod, and you're like, Andy, I've thrown a lot at him. Okay,
yeah,
he's been a little busy since
correct.
He came. So for listeners, don't worry. He'll be honest. We'll get him on at some point. He's, you know, we'll let him adapt for a week or two before we pull him out of something else and say, hey, come talk to me for a half hour.
I can kind of tell you the things, too. Like, I know it's a little cop-out reason. The easiest one, Winterhawks.com has his full press conference.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like he would give the same chatting points there that he did to introduce it.
Well, basically, get a couple of games under his belt.
Yes,
but, you know.
Yes. And obviously he does. And but we kind of got it. You know, it's new team. How is he going to embrace it? He feels like the veterans are really good for him. You know, obviously he's excited to see what he can do on his line and how he can fit into the system. He wants to win because he sees the other guys pushing for championships. Now he comes right in and he said he wants to do that. We went over what, you know, his number. He had a great success at Minnesota, great success with the the Winnipeg Jets organization. So I feel like once we get deeper into the season, we'll have to 100% pull him back on and see how he's kind of enjoying it. And once he gets to settle down, now he's getting adjusted into the school system as well.
Right,
so, you know, there's everything getting thrown his way from, you know, here's your practice time, here's your billeting family, here's this and here's that, here's when you're required to be at the rink. And, you know, it's obviously a lot, but he's a pro. Like, he knows it. Yeah. Like, all these guys are going to be pros. They want to act pro, be a pro, right? Like, that's the first step, and it helps you. I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does kind of on these bigger stretch because it is a grind, and he wasn't playing as many games as I'm sure he probably would have even hoped for in the AHL level, which is most likely why he was sent down. You could play games, you could be a leader, you could be that go-to guy for a team that's in the midst of a championship run. So how is he going to embrace kind of like these 3-3 weekends, which, yeah, he's used to from the national team. He played it a little bit in Minnesota, but not to the extent. Like, the travel he got again in Manitoba, he's used to those long, grueling travel. So can that translate here to Portland? It's going to be what I'm kind of excited to see and how well he can do when the team needs that extra push on that third game of a 3-3.
Yeah, he's going to bring it. It's great to have closure, too, to something I know Hawks fans have been waiting on. I remember bumping into, you know, Michael Kramer, owner, and he brought up, Chad, we're hopeful, kind of waiting all season. Is it going to happen? Now you got your closure. He's here, and he's fit in like a glove so far. So it's exciting to see where it's going to go from
here. I'm sure it's also beneficial from the kids' perspective when you come down to Portland, and it's a situation where the fans, the team, the staff, your teammates, like, they want you there.
For sure.
It's not just like, who's
this kid coming
right
in? Yeah.
Because it's like they were actually like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to help us. You know, like, I can't wait to see what he's like. So it's like that kind of giddy feeling, too. And the players for sure have it. Like, there wasn't like great, this guy's going to come in and steal some time. It's more like, all right, like, good. Now we get to see what it's like to be a pro. We can kind of learn from this guy that we all want to go on the same path. So come on in.
We want to win. This guy's going to help us win. And they're going in that direction. That's the exciting part. Let's get to the weekend ahead. 3-3. Nick Merrick's going to be all over your TV. So what's coming up for Hawks fans this weekend? How excited are you for that's a tough 3-3 for you, where you got home, road, home.
Yes.
That's always a difficult stretch because it would be great just to sleep in your own bed. Now you're back on the road and then back at home. What are you looking forward to the 3-on-3, and where can people see you on TV this weekend?
Yeah, crazy weekend in store. Friday night, going to kick it off with the team's Pride Night game. It's obviously the next installment for Hockey is for Everyone and the Hawks initiatives, just to kind of open their doors to newer fans and opportunity to kind of, you know, just bring in different groups in the community. And there's some great merchandise that we partnered with once again with queer artists and Mio Lanzi, who helped us with some other items earlier this season. So she gets to get involved with the Pride Night game, and Portland Gear is helping out with that merchandise production. And there's going to be a specialty jersey the teams are going to wear too to recognize Pride Night.
Okay.
And some of the groups that the Hawks have partnered with, actually proceeds from the merchandise sales and ticket sales, and then eventually those game-worn jersey sales will go back towards Pride Northwest. So excited to kind of have that local orientation with the games to be able to give back to the team. But that's always such a great game and a unique game. And there's a post-game skate, a community skate afterwards. The players won't be involved in that one like New Year's Eve, but they still get the skate on the VMC ice, and it's first come, first serve. So
keep
your Friday night plans open. That's always going to be a great game. And I'm sure there'll be more information coming out too this week for the Hawks fans interested in joining that game. And then, yeah, you take a sleep, you wake up in the morning, you bus up to Seattle. It's the first rivalry game for the Hawks in the new year against their division rivals and the team that's, you know, they're trying to chase down in the standings. So that game's going to speak for itself. Excited to be on the call with that one for Portland CW. For those that wanted to tune in locally, they can. I'll be on the play-by-play. Very excited for that once again with Tim Pogolsky. And then we'll turn it right around. Then you and
that's
I get
right.
to call the game on Sunday. So back-to-back TV games on Portland CW on Saturday when the team's in Seattle, that's televised. Then that Sunday at 5 game, that'll be televised as well. Although, don't listen to me. Don't listen to Andy. You're listening to us now. We'll talk to you all that you want. Come to the arena. Technically, you can listen to us in the arena. So
you can. You can hear, man. It gets quiet in there.
So there you go. So come to the game on Sunday. Support when they're playing the Spokane Chiefs. And, it's just a jam-packed weekend. Like, this is where, you know, this is where it starts settling in, like we were talking about before. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. Just looking forward to seeing everyone once again.
Can't wait, man. It's great to have the team back. They're playing great. Rough road trip, but they're not alone in having a rough road trip, so it's good to see them bounce back with a couple of wins. An amazing weekend ahead, a great night on Friday night, and you mentioned a couple of TV nights. What more could you ask for, buddy?
100%.
And then they go on the road again for 2 more weeks.
Big time.
Yeah,
I know, it goes right
up.
Through. I know we're wrapping up here. I'm going to do my Nick Merrick ramble on,
because
I feel like I've gotten some questions, so I just want to maybe address on the podcast for people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Road trip, right? Everyone always asks about what it's like on the road. Nothing crazy. Like, you pretty much heard from Gabe, the players do exactly what everyone you're hearing. Like, you take advantage of that time to sleep. It's a lot of sleeping on the bus because you got to try to adjust and you got to take advantage of your rest when you can. Card games happen. Movies happen. Players watch World Juniors. Like, they have cable access on TV. So, like, World Juniors were on the TV. The bus trip really isn't as bad, I don't think, as people think, because, honestly, the Hawks might have one of the best buses in
it's
terms
a good looking
of comfortability
bus, man,
like
yeah.
It's nice wide seats. There's only, you know, Greyhounds have like 2 seats on one side, 2 seats on the other. The Winterhawks bus is a 2-seater by a 1-seater, which means then the seats can get that much wider because now you're throwing out a whole row of seats. So that's helpful. Once you're at the different places, I love seeing the families. I think I really enjoyed Winnipeg. I know everyone will ask, like, what do you enjoy in the trip? Winnipeg was really cool. Loved seeing, well, especially not only the parents' families there, but just like the city itself.
Yeah.
It's obviously a bigger city, probably one of the bigger ones in the WHL. Especially up in Canada, and that was a very fun spot to be. We didn't get to explore too much because a lot of it's like, oh, did you go anywhere? Like, it was jam-packed. That schedule was nuts. Like, you pretty much arrive at 2 p.m., you're offloading at the rink, you're going back to the hotel for like an hour and a half, then you go to a team dinner, and then you're done. Like, honestly, I only had one night to even, like, go out and, like, grab a post-game drink somewhere and just, like, I'm going to grab some appetizers and a drink. Like, it was so packed. Press box locations, everyone always asks about that one. I love the one in Brandon. Very fun. It's, like, kind of a little mini catwalk to get to it, but a great vantage point. Honestly, Winnipeg's rink was very cool. Everyone's dogging on it because it's a smaller rink,
okay.
And it's more of, like, a community rink where it's, like, just the wooden bench seats all around, but obviously the environment's good because you could pack it, so I don't mind that. And my perspective, I was right on top of the bench, which I'm laughing at. I thought I'd be yelling downstairs and people would hear me, but at the end of it, I went to Clayton Johns and I'm like, Clayton, did you hear me down there? And he was like, no, actually I never did. I was kind of like bummed about it. Like, I was thinking like that'd be the first time I'd like hear you live during a game and I would get a good kick out
You're
of it.
You're doing PA and play-by-play at the same time.
And meanwhile, I'm like, like, I took a deep breath. I'm like, thank goodness. Like, I don't want to have the players and staff downstairs hear me.
Hey, Nick, I heard what you said about that turnover in the neutral zone.
And I'm always so loud, too, but I like that spot. Saskatoon and Moose Jaw are really good vantage points as well. Had a great time with some different people on the road, but I will have to dog on Gabe's home rink there a little bit.
Okay.
I love the Arthauser Center, everything about it, from the visuals, the team store, it's just like an old rink that they converted into a nice WHL location. But that press box, man. I'm sorry. It's not good. It's really not good. I don't like that one. It's probably now it's probably on the bottom of my list. Everyone always asks where I like the podcast from. Well, now I can confidently say Prince Albert's at the bottom.
We have found the bottom of the barrel.
It's because the way it's in, it's a great perspective if it didn't have all of like the beams coming down. Like, we're in an actual like box. Like, you know, when people say press box, like, this one's your old-fashioned true press box where, like, you have a roof and you're in the rink already, but there's a roof on top of you. You're standing on, like, a catwalk. Like, it's what do they call it? It's raised. Like, it's above the fans. Like, technically, the fans could probably almost jump up and hit the bottom of it because I come up on the concourse level to get to it. So, like, it's a good intimate spot. But if you're standing, I can't see the boards. And if you're sitting, I can't see the net. So, like, it's like a loose
challenge.
It's tough. Like, you're doing yoga stretches the whole time to try to be able to see the puck. So, there we go. Sorry I rambled on for an extra four minutes there.
I love it, dude. I love it.
I know I always get those questions on social and figured, hey, maybe the podcast is the best way just to give some more insight on different rinks. But if you haven't had a chance to go to those rinks, all six in the East Division are very, very fun. Like, they're way different than any. I don't know how to describe it. Like, Canadian rinks like that are so different than any of the ones they are here in the States. You know, and there's a lot of history with a bunch of those places, too. Much like there is in Portland. So, like, maybe you don't get as much history. Not even like in Everett Silvertips, but like the Elwood Silvertips, like, they're a new-ish rink compared to some other ones.
Sure,
like,
the Show good fan Center base. Or whatever. Yeah.
Right, but they've only been around for so many years, but then you go back to teams that were around when the Winterhawks were playing in the 70s, and they're like, oh, wow, like, this is the rink that they played in back then, or sometimes it's like, well, they changed recently, and then it's like a nice upgrade, like Moose Jaw, when they went from the crushed can, as they call it, to the nice event center, and it's a beautiful rink. Like, it's a cool lower bowl only with a suite deck on top, very similar from the build to, like, what they do in Vancouver with the Giants, Langley Event Center. But I'll shut up. Just have a lot of fun. Glad to be talking hockey at home.
Dude, I love it, really man. Good. I love it's really it. Good. I think it's a cool release, you know, because last time we recorded, you were on the road. I think you had just showed up. And where was the first city? Was it in?
We were just in Brandon.
Just gotten to
so
Brandon.
I didn't have a chance to see any of them yet.
Yeah, so that was like the start of it. And you were talking about how, you know, this is like my first big road trip. It's been a couple of years
for a while.
Since all this has happened.
Brandon Wheat Kings definitely have the biggest team store of the bunch. It's nice to see, like, the different. I always like seeing the food venues. I never really eat there, obviously, but I like just kind of walk
you
around.
You gotta
like,
check out.
If
see
I was a fan, like, what would
got.
I get? Yeah. Like, is it just pretzel and popcorn and hot dogs? Do they have like
specialty kind of? Yeah.
Right. Do they have any like poutine at places? Which some of them do. Which is like, you know, it's just like you don't see that in the States. So I'm just like, what do you guys have here?
Oh man, I love it. Well, you get to go on another long road trip, which I know is your favorite, coming up. But before then, enjoy it, and can't wait to work with you on Sunday, buddy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to watch you on Saturday night up in Seattle. It's going to be great, and hopefully they get 3 wins in 3 nights, man.
Yeah, likewise. I think from the Winterhawks' perspective, 3 wins would be unbelievable. Just excited to see what this team does now with a little momentum.
All right, that'll do it. Episode 9 here of Portland Winterhawks Podcast. My thanks again to Hawks captain Gabe Claussen for hopping on. So much fun catching back up with him, and what timing on that. I mean, he has been on an absolute tear lately. At the end of the road trip, and then here the first 3 games back from that Canadian swing, he is on fire. So a lot of fun to catch up with Gabe and kind of get the insight on his leadership style and how it has evolved, and the addition of Chaz Lucius. I know that's one that Hawks fans have been waiting on all season. I bumped into owner Michael Kramer at one of the games, and you know he brought up Chaz Lucius, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally got the answer, a big-time player added to the roster, and great to hear Gabe kind of mention that, you know, he's fitting right in. There's a tight-knit group, a good culture inside that locker room. They feel like they have a chance to win the whole darn thing this year, and Chaz Lucius is only going to help here in the stretch months of the season. So big time addition, and great to see Gabe is performing at such a high level, and awesome to catch up with him again. And then of course my buddy Nick Merrick, always love catching up with Nick, and I loved hearing his thoughts on the road trip and his favorite arenas and kind of the anecdotes that a lot of us folks who don't get up to go watch hockey in Canada kind of paints a good picture for us of what those different barns were like that the Winterhawks were playing in. And it is great to be back on home ice for the Portland Winterhawks after a tough trip. Important to point out that a lot of teams in the U.S. division struggled on that same swing. And, you know, for Gabe kind of mentioning that, you know, such a long bus trip and you're playing 6 games in 9 nights, it's brutal on your body. And on top of that, you have so many, you know, additional bus trips. You just think, oh, it's the first one all the way up there. That's a long one. You got 3, 4, 5 hour trips in between cities once you're up there. So a lot of time on the bus. And I'm sure the guys would, you know, they say, hey, it's great to see some family and friends for the guys that got to go play in their home provinces. But there's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on. You know, friends and family, you got to see after the game. You got to talk to. And I think the guys are just kind of, they love being home. They love playing on those road trips in front of their friends and family. But at the same time, you can kind of sense being around the VMC today that the guys are happy to be back home, playing in front of their home fans and sleeping in their own beds here. So the team has picked up where they left off before the road trip. Great to get 3 straight wins here. That Victoria game was absolutely bonkers, and then a couple of blowouts. And then Hawks fans, don't don't forget, big weekend coming up. You got Pride Night with Swift Current in town on Friday night. Always a fun one. As Nick mentioned, they're wearing some specialty jerseys, so that's always a cool thing whenever they do that. So it's going to be a lot of fun on Friday night. Saturday, first time in 2023, they're taking on Seattle up at the Showwear Center. And for those of you not making the trip up, don't forget you can watch that game here locally on Portland CW. Nick Merrick, of course, is going to have the call of that one. It's going to be a lot of fun to see him back on TV. And then on Sunday, Nick and I are going to be over at the VMC calling the game against Spokane. So if you can't get over on Sunday evening, it is a 5 o'clock puck drop, or maybe, hey, I want to keep an eye on football, but also keep an eye on the Hawks. Whatever the case may be, Nick and I are going to be on the call of that one. Portland and Spokane, Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. I cannot wait to work with Nick again. He's an absolute joy to call the game with, so going to be a lot of fun. He's got some heavy weight to carry because he's going to have to carry me through that broadcast, but I know he can do it because he's a professional. So that will do it for us. Thanks again for listening all season long here and supporting the podcast. A reminder that you can find it on Spotify, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, you can find it on the Winterhawks website, on their Twitter feed, on 1080 The Fan, on the Odyssey app. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. So thanks again for listening, supporting. Make sure to download and subscribe to the podcast so you're updated whenever a new episode is coming out. The Hawks are going on another long road trip here in a couple weeks, so we'll make sure to record before they head out on that next road trip. And until next time, look forward to seeing you out at the VMC this weekend. For tickets and for more information, go check them out, winterhawks.com. We'll talk to you in episode 10. Go Hawks.
Can I help you? Looked at him and said, yes, you can. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.